Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this February 14th, 2020. Of course, today, Arizona Statehood Day, and of course, St. Valentine's Day. John Couch, my friend, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the studio glass, but we do welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We are live each weekday during the noon hour, have been for over 9 years now, on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Try to make it very easy for you. If you're around a computer, you can hear our programs live through my website. And of course, all our podcasts, we archive them for you. Very easy to use at buckmastershow.com. Like to do our Friday shout out to our media partners who support us by putting a link from their homepage over to my website, TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks to Dylan Smith over there, Jim Ninsel with the Tucson Local Media Group. Jim, of course, from the Tucson Weekly, but their portfolio publications includes Inside Tucson Business, the weekly Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. Thanks to Dan Shear and his team down in Green Valley. Our Friday Focus interview today, Kevin Dahl is with us. Kevin is the Senior Program Manager in the Southwest with the organization known as the National Parks Conservation Association, which celebrated its centennial last year, so 101 years old. It's it's the only independent nonpartisan membership organization devoted exclusively to the advocacy. They're advocates on behalf of the National Park System. Kevin Dahl's focus is really issues concerning Arizona's national parks and monuments, including the Grand Canyon, Petrified Forest, Saguaro, along with Organ Pipe National Monument, which has been the focus this week of international news coverage, spotlighting what's going on with the building of the border wall along the monument's southern boundary. Joining us in studio, Tim Steller, the pride of Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Minnesota's suffering from 40-degree below wind chill. I'm sure Tim wishes he was back there enjoying those winters. You used to play hockey outside and everything, didn't you?
Oh, I did a little of that, but no, I don't enjoy that. I was there two Christmases ago, New Year's ago with my family, and we were looking forward to enjoying some of the sledding and walking around a little bit.
Yeah, the stuff we did as kids.
It happened to coincide with one of these cold snaps, except it lasted the whole week we were there, where it was, dropped below zero like the first night and didn't get above zero or above 5 degrees or so for several days.
Yeah.
And you just can't do anything. Is one thing when it's 10 to 20 to 30 degrees. Yeah. But when it's that cold, it's just impossible.
And your blood is thin so much here, Tim, since you've been out here.
Absolutely.
For those that don't know, Tim Steller, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. He recently returned to Tucson from his reporting in Mexico, and we're going to hear more about that during our roundtable portion of the program, probably about 20 minutes to 1. But let's now turn to Kevin Dahl. And Kevin, we've interviewed you a bunch of times on the live line. I've wanted to bring you into the studios, into our still relatively new studio, so we could take a deeper dive into what's going on with the border wall. This has been Native American burial sites have been blown up by construction crews building along the border. Congressman Grijalva not happy with this. The tribal leaders with the Tohono O'odham Nation not at all happy. The monument is a UNESCO recognized natural reserve. What have you heard about this, what the government calls controlled blasting?
Well, they're putting a wall over a hill, which you see whenever you go to Rocky Point. It's just a few miles west of Lukeville, the portal into Mexico that so many people drive through. And in my mind, it's completely ridiculous. Before the Trump wall, and this is a wall that's come entirely from the office of the president. It was not something the Border Patrol asked for. It's not something anybody really asked for. The Border Patrol and the National Park Service, which has plenty of law enforcement officials, had operational control. Things were safe there. There was some people coming through the border. Many of them were caught. Mm-hmm. And so the blasting is so destructive and an insult. The Tonautum, a peaceful people, we've always been our allies,
mm-hmm.
Including in the Apache Wars. And ironically, the Tonautum tell us that there are Apache that are buried in that monument to hell, not Tonautum.
I did not know that about that during the Apache Wars, that they were allies with the United States government.
Completely.
Wow.
They didn't care for the Apaches, much like the settlers didn't. But those wars are over. We now have a new war. We're mm-hmm. creating a war with Mexico. Mexico is a trading partner and a valued neighbor. Many of us have family on both sides. And it's strange that we put this destructive, unneeded, ineffectual wall.
And the high-tech equipment, I understand, was state-of-the-art that had been used there in the park before this wall really, why it's even necessary. You said that the law enforcement had been perfectly capable of controlling the boundaries of the monument.
Yeah, the mission of the Border Patrol is not to keep people out, because you can't keep people out. People will go over, under, through any sort of structure. I was recently there with some reporters from Deutsche Welle, the
German
broadcast
and operation.
And they were very excited to go out there and see what they had been told as a wall. Mm-hmm. And they started laughing when they saw it. They said, you know, we lived with the Berlin Wall. That was a wall. Two massive edifices with a no man's land in between with mines and automatic guns.
Yeah.
And I told them about the videos that we've seen when President Trump said that when they built the prototypes, they had it tested out by mountaineers, which was a fabricated lie.
Uh-huh.
The climbing community was so mad, someone built a replica close to where a climbing convention was happened and had a contest, and people could climb it in seconds.
Wow.
All you need, and these climbers don't need anything, but with a rope with a stick tied to the end of it or a ladder and a rope, mm-hmm. you can get over it in seconds.
Tim Steller.
What's the matter with it, though? What's the problem that it causes, the wall?
Well, besides costing $20 to $25 million a mile, they are scraping the desert. They're using an incredible amount of water because the 30-foot steel bollards are filled with cement, and you need a very strong cement footer. So they're using a lot of water in an area where there's not a lot of water. So there's new wells at Oregon Pipe. It cuts off habitat in the United States to protected areas in Mexico, where incredible species like the endangered snoring pronghorn used to go back and forth. And we know that it doesn't stop people, but it does stop most wildlife. Desert tortoises, coyotes, mountain lions, they're cut off from their half of their habitat. And these big predators need large areas. And even desert tortoises, we've learned, mm-hmm. migrate pretty far. So those are some of the environmental impacts. Our Tonautum friends, it's cutting them off from places that they typically go. You know, they live on both sides of the border, and there's, for young men, there's a ritual of going to the Gulf of California to collect salt.
Mm.
And they specifically asked the Border Patrol, two areas we go, please do not build the wall here.
I see.
Quito Baquito Oasis, a pond, a spring in a pond mm-hmm. in Oregon Pipe is one of those places.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there with the German reporters, we witnessed the bulldozers, the steamroller, the scraping, the big piles of riparian vegetation happening close to this incredible place where people have lived for thousands of years.
Wow.
How close, when you say close, are you talking about miles, 2 miles?
No,
or are you talking about hundreds of feet? Or
hundreds, about 100 yards.
Whoa.
100 yards from the surface water?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've recently learned about the hydrology of that area. U of A graduate student did his thesis on it. And we're concerned that even just the placement of the wall with the footers could affect the watershed that supplies that spring. There's just one spring that supplies that pond.
Tim, I also want to ask Kevin about this. We're hearing that park rangers are being pulled from facilities as far away as Alaska and North Carolina to come to the border to assist the Border Patrol. Now, that is something that the Park Service people didn't sign up to be Border Patrol agents.
It's showmanship. You know, park rangers, there are law enforcement park rangers, and there's plenty of them at Oregon Pipe and other border parks. But someone who's used to doing police work at the National Mall or in Alaska, when they come to Arizona or Texas border, they need to learn about the what's happening here and mm-hmm. be trained about the plants and animals mm-hmm. and the situation. And by the time that happens, their detail is up and they're shipped back home. Mm-hmm. I asked someone in the Park Service, was this a successful program? And they said, no, it's just wasting everybody's time, including the people at the border in the parks that have to train these people.
Yeah, that takes time away from
it's showmanship. It's something to so that the Department of Interior, the department where the Park Service lives, can report to the president that, hey, we're on your team. We're the border is dangerous. We're sending more people down there.
You're talking about park rangers being deployed to national park lands.
That's
in other
correct.
Words, not just anywhere on the border, but specifically to national park or monuments that border the border Mexico.
Texas and Arizona.
Like Big Bend, Texas.
Oregon Pipe, do you know if they were deployed to Oregon Pipe?
Yeah, no, they're regularly rotating through into mm-hmm. Oregon Pipe because there's just a few places actually where they can do this. But, you know, it's like the National Guard was called up to help with Border Patrol, and they did help with Border Patrol. They can't go on the ground. They can't get the training to do that, so they're stuck at desks doing the paperwork. There is lots of staffing of border, and anybody who drives in the borderlands knows that I'm going to go through two or three checkpoints, and there's going to be a lot of people there, and they must be on rotation. We're covering the border very well.
All right, let's take a before we talk about my favorite bakery in town, Kevin, that's Mona's Danish Bakery, we're going to go to the live line. Ingrid has called, and she would like to speak with Kevin Dahl of the National Parks Conservation Association. Go ahead, Ingrid. Hey, Ingrid.
Talking about all the things that you did. Some of us have been very concerned about all these items for a long time, even the migration of animals. People don't think about that. Thank you very much. Also, this building of the wall is costing, as you said, a lot of money. It's being taken away from national defense. And I suspect that some very wonderful promises were made to contractors, perhaps before the election, to have this done, and now promises must be kept.
Well, the contractor in Arizona is Kiewit, a huge defense-based contractor.
What did you call it?
Kiewit.
Okay.
It's actually, they're using an LLC out of Albuquerque, mm-hmm. the Southwest something or other.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's one of the big defense contractors who knows how to deploy construction, and they're making lots of money. You know, and where's the cost-benefit analysis? There is none, because along the wall we can exempt, in this case, 41 national laws that are usually used when federal projects are done. National Environmental Policy Act would require impact statements that would look at the cost-benefit analysis and require the agency to check out alternatives. Endangered Species Act, Clean Water Act, the acts that protect the Indian graves and those cultural resources – waived.
So is there any evidence of what Ingrid said being true? I know I've contemplated this in my own work, but and that is the existence or the new existence of a sort of border industrial complex. Do you have evidence that that's part of what's going on here?
I don't have any evidence of promises, but mm-hmm. I think there's evidence of this border industrial complex. I'm an old Arizonan. Mm-hmm. I have gray wisdom here, and I remember camping on the border when it was the fence was there to keep cows out, three strand, and it was safe. Mm-hmm. And why 40 years later have we militarized the border? Why must I, as an American, go through two checkpoints to go to my favorite national monument? I think it's just crazy. There's probably so many better alternatives to deal with the problems of guest workers, of people who want to achieve asylum in our country and are illegally being turned away, and the drug wars, which, by the way, traffic is down at Oregon Pipe. There's a trend that it's that people aren't trying to smuggle marijuana there, which was the big item that was going through the desert.
Smuggling traffic is down?
Is down because many Western states have legalized medicinal and recreational use.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break right here. Tim, you know what I want to talk about. And today is Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So this would be a very appropriate time to go by Mona's, pick up some of the goodies that that Steve, the owner and chief baker, has prepared especially for Valentine's Day. Not everybody goes out to eat on Valentine's Day. Some people like to prepare, as we do in the Buckmaster household, a beautiful dinner at home. But what about dessert? How about Valentine's Day dessert? Well, that's where Steve comes in, and he can take care of you up at Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Some of those heart-shaped cookies that we were able to sample last Sunday up at Mona's, the double shortbread cookies filled with that beautiful blueberry paste. What a beautiful cookie. That would be fun for dessert tonight, or some of his Valentine's Day cakes. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. Also, a link at buckmastershow.com to not only Mona's, but all of our great partners. We'll be back with Kevin Dahl from the National Parks Conservation Association. Tim Steller will also stick around. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things, Socolow Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Friday Focus interview. Friday, we take a deep dive into a subject, and today we're talking about what's been going on this week. It's become a focus of international attention. Kevin Dahl is with us. Kevin, representing here in Arizona, the National Parks Conservation Association. And Kevin, during the break with Tim Steller, is here from the Arizona Daily Star, you were mentioning a video that you shot, I guess just on your regular on your phone, right?
That's right.
And that has gone so viral that there have been hundreds of thousands of hits.
I happened to be driving by when the contractor was clearing the land, and so I have a video of a bulldozer pushing a saguaro, full-grown saguaro, uh-huh, lying on the ground, into a slash pile for later disposal.
Whoa.
You know, they're so heavy they have to saw them into pieces. You may have seen pictures of that, too.
Mm.
And I think it went viral because people identify with saguaros. It's mm-hmm. the symbol of our West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the symbol of our freedom here. And bulldozing them for an unneeded, expensive, destructive wall, it's just crazy.
And where can we see this video?
Well, I wrote a blog about it on our website, www.npca.org. That's for my organization, National Parks Conservation Association. Mm-hmm. You can see it there.
How many people do you think have seen it?
Well, it was tweeted out by my friend, Lakin Jordahl, and his tweet was viewed by 750,000 people.
Wow.
On Facebook, it was reposted.
Wow.
And George Takei, who's like Mr. Facebook, posted it. He has 10 million fans.
Wow. Wow. So tell me, attempts to replant any of the more sensitive vegetation like the saguaro or organ pipe plant? And when it comes to plants, you know what you're talking about. I mean, you wrote a book, as I have in front of me on your bio. You're the author of Wild Plants of the Sonoran Desert, which is still in print, right?
That's correct, yeah.
It was published by the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. So what's the deal about
Well, the first thing we saw was a promotional video by the Army Corps of Engineers that's in charge of some of the engineering along the border wall, that they were relocating saguaros. And it mm-hmm. wasn't until my video came out that they had to admit that they weren't relocating all of the saguaros. So they're making a selection and relocating some, but as many or more are being destroyed. The Park Service stepped in, and they're going ahead and relocating small cactus and small shrubs that have some success or are important. But whether they relocate them or not, we have a 60-foot swath, 30 miles long, scraped, denuded. We'll have a 30-foot wall that will be lit all night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my favorite camping ground is right there at the visitor center. Be able to see a whole line of light at night now rather than the beautiful dark skies.
Success rate on replanting a saguaro is not great.
Not very high, because to support this, you know, ton of water that goes straight up in a column, they have roots that extend way far out. But when you replant, you have to cut away those roots.
Mm.
So some saguaro are able to survive for a while and get new roots established. Maybe 50% aren't. And it's a big succulent plant. It doesn't look like it's dead until it's been dead for a couple of years.
Mm. Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Tim.
So what else are you focusing on these days other than the water wall?
He's got some big parks to
big
deal
ditch
with,
like the, north
Grand,
of us,
like the Grand Canyon, where there's threats with uranium. That's one of your focuses. Go ahead.
Yeah, and inappropriate nearby development and how the dam is operated to protect the endangered species. You know, 6 million people visit the Grand Canyon, and they have a stellar experience, pardon the pun, you know, the trip of a lifetime. And so those lands need to be protected. You know, you assume that a national park, a national monument is well protected, but no, there's some crazy ideas for a bunch of them.
The Grand Canyon, there is legislation to permanently ban uranium.
Uranium mining on the public lands that surround the canyon, which are, in some cases are the geologic Grand Canyon, but are outside the park. You know, we're doing some positive stuff, too. We're trying to add some parcels to Saguaro National Park here on both sides of Tucson.
How big is that park?
I don't keep those numbers in my head, but it's a big one. And the expansion is modest, maybe 40 parcels total under 2,000 acres. But they're significant. They're along Rincon Creek on the east side, or they're connecting the county Sweetwater Preserve, which is a great hiking place, to the park so that wildlife will always be able to go back and forth freely.
One of the oldest national monuments in the United States is the Casa Grande National Monument. I'm sure people driving up to Phoenix have kind of seen it off to the right there.
You see the signs, and if you haven't visited there, it's worth a visit to learn how people lived along the Gila River so long ago.
Is it well-preserved, the ruin there?
Yeah, and eventually it was, and that's why it was protected. You know, people would ride their horses to it 100 years ago and then pull off timbers for their campfire. So it was protected by the Antiquities Act before we even had a park service. And now we want to add some more land to it that have additional archaeological sites to tell the full story. This bill has complete bipartisan support, Republican, Democrat, from the Arizona delegation. And I expect this might be a success story by the end of the year.
The west side of Saguaro National Park West is increasingly surrounded by development or suburban development or kind of exurban development. Is that the side that this possible purchase or expansion is on?
Yes.
On the west side?
Yeah. And if you go down Scenic Drive Road to Sanctuary Cove on the north side, Sanctuary Cove is one of the parcels we hope to add to it. Mm. And just north of it, there's some horrible development that neighbors had tried to for years stop. So you can see the contrast between we can preserve this in place for everybody, or we can build, you know, ticky-tacky homes.
I was surprised, and I follow you on Facebook and your travels to these. We're so lucky in this state to have these kind of iconic parks. I was surprised that the Petrified Forest National Park is one of the least visited national parks.
People are on their way to the Grand Canyon, and they might stop. From the freeway, it doesn't look like anything. But if you take the road, you see some fabulous places. Oh, and if you get out of your car,
beautiful.
It's the most incredible hiking you'll ever see.
And there used to be a hotel. Was there like a Fred Harvey hotel?
There was a Painted Inn. They have programs there. And they're building a new campground near there. Yeah. But please take a visit to Petrified Forest. It's completely worth it.
And what is the superstition that if you were to take a piece of a Petrified Forest home with you, it's bad luck, and a lot of people wound up, I guess, sending them back, right?
They've gotten hundreds of letters with pieces of petrified wood from guilty people, many of whom say, this has brought my family bad luck.
Yeah.
Please put it back. And you can't put it back. We don't know where it's from.
No.
So there's a huge pile near one of the visitor centers. And maybe someday they'll do an art project or something with it. But no need to do that. You can send money to the Friends of Petrified Forest or to the National Park Foundation. If you feel guilty, support the parks in other ways and enjoy the piece of, you know, we've added to that park. There was an expansion 12 years ago, and I brought in a donor to help with one of the purchases, and he asked me, so what do they do to people who stole wood? He had, as a kid, stolen wood, and he contributed tens of thousands of dollars to help the park. And so to me, that's a success story. He should enjoy his little piece of wood.
But it's one of those places, and you know, once you've visited there, and it's been so many years since I have, but there are logs that are like petrified, and you will never forget this experience.
And there's fossils. These logs were created during the Triassic period, and so there's all sorts of.
Was that like the dinosaur period, or
not dinosaurs, but sores?
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember the scientific names, but
they're
large
really
alligators
old.
And stuff.
Old. There was this old forest there,
and kids will love it because at the visitor center they have reconstructions of this. They can learn about fossils. Yeah. They can play with fossils. It's a science park in so many different ways. The night sky is incredible, and the Painted Desert. That's where the Painted Desert is.
And I wonder why maybe people and there's no excuse for not a lot of people going there because it's on probably one of the busiest stretches of interstate highway, the old Route 66, there's so much traffic there. Maybe people are so focused, well, we're in Arizona, we're heading for the Grand Canyon.
You know, there's Monument Valley, there's the Meteor Crater, you're heading to California, there's three monuments around Flagstaff. There's a lot of competition, but it takes the cake as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Before we wrap it up with you, how is your organization doing? I know you celebrated that big centennial last year.
We're doing well. You know, it's not just Arizona. Wherever there's parks, there's National Parks Conservation Association, and we're the voice of the parks in D.C., and it's a great job because almost everybody loves the parks.
Yeah.
It's America's greatest idea. These are places that belong to all of us, and if you haven't enjoyed a park recently, this weekend go out and see something beautiful. Saguaro, Tumacacori, Chiricahua National Monument, Fort Bowie, National Historic Site. Incredible places to visit with your family.
But, Tim, it is a challenge with people who have kids to get them off the devices. They say the kids, well, look, I can see the Grand Canyon on the device.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
that's stretching a little bit.
Early,
but I know. All right, Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you. Where can
people find out more? What's your website?
www.npca.org for National Parks Conservation
Or you can just Google National Parks. Maybe people would put in National Parks Association. They left out the conservation, and they're still going to get there.
They'll find us.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues. We're going to talk with Tim Steller about his recent trip to Mexico and his interview with the president of Mexico. That's coming up. Can we call it an interview?
No, but that's a little overstating it. But we had a good back and forth.
Yeah, a little back and forth.
Yeah.
That went on 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's something.
Well, that's an interview.
Well, let's call it that then.
Okay, we will call it that on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We'll continue right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
We just heard Tim Stellar saying he's going to look at some pictures while he probably pictures of his trip.
Correct.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. So we're still on topic. Tim Stellar's
yes.
with me. Tim has been a columnist with the Arizona Daily Star, I believe. I'm going to take a guess here. Don't tell me. Tim started at the Star in 1996?
Seven.
Whoa,
yeah,
I was
so
close.
You're very close.
Okay.
23 years now at the paper, but I've only been a columnist since January 2013, so that's 7 years of that.
But I would say for your career that a milestone happened about 6 months ago, didn't it?
Oh, getting that fellowship,
yes,
you mean? Yes,
that's
sure.
what I'm
yeah,
talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
And tell the listeners what that was again.
So I applied for a fellowship for columnists, mid-career columnists and editorial writers. That's where you make a proposal and then they fund your project.
Mm-hmm.
This was for the Society of Professional Journalists Foundation.
Sure.
And my proposal was to research and write about a bunch of different topics related to the molding and manipulation of public opinion about immigration and the border. And my focus is on government, like politicians and government and how they try to mold public opinion.
In this country or Mexico?
So that's part of the trick. I mean, there's a natural story here in the United States because, of course, Donald Trump has made immigration and the border his top priority, top talking point, and certainly he's been trying to mold public opinion about it.
Yep.
But I'm not limited to that. I'm also doing, I was just in Mexico, got really interested in Mexican migration, despite the fact that, most recent waves have been from Central America, because, I discovered in Tijuana a couple of months ago, I was in a shelter there, and I realized that there are all these people coming from southern Mexican states or southwestern, like the state of Guerrero or the state of Michoacan, who were just lining up at the border to ask for asylum. And I started talking to people and realized it is kind of like an unnoticed, forgotten story. As time went on, I found out just a couple of weeks ago that, found out over the weeks that Nogales is full of people from the state of Guerrero.
Nogales, Sonora. Yeah. Waiting to cross.
They're in the metering line, which is a line to go to the port of entry to present your case as a possible case for asylum. To do your credible fear interview. So, I met some people, did a couple of long interviews down there in Nogales with people from Guerrero, and my plan was to go to Guerrero and go to their town. Now, that's an interesting thing to try to do, first of all, because it's considered a very dangerous state. The State Department recommends no travel.
So you wanted to go to the source for
where
these people
are. Yeah, to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous state, but I talked to fellow reporters around Mexico, and they said the cities, Chilpancingo is the capital, and Acapulco, of course, is the beach capital. They have crime, of course, but they said you can go there without a problem. The problem is choosing where to go outside the cities to try to pursue your stories.
Right. Before you continue, you talked about molding public opinion, and of course, it's easy for us in the United States to know that Donald Trump is trying to mold public opinion about immigration.
Yeah.
What about the president of Mexico, who you were able to interface with at his, believe it or not, daily news conference that he has each day?
Yep.
weekdays, I assume.
Yeah, Monday through Friday. Right. He has what he calls a mañanera. It's a morning press conference. It goes on for, depending on whether there's a presentation or not, mm-hmm. He might answer questions for an hour or 2 hours every day.
And you showed up.
Yeah, I got permission, and I have some friends there who are reporters who go mm-hmm. to that and who help me out to try to, figure out strategies for getting called on. And so I was able to, on the Friday last week, the theme was this massive distraction, I call it, of the old presidential airplane.
Yeah, what to do with the old presidential plane, because he doesn't use the presidential plane.
The new president only flies commercial and wants to get rid of all the luxuries. And so
this was a presentation day.
Yeah, and so he called on me first after this. And
because you were wearing a certain kind of attire.
A guayabera,
There you go.
A green guayabera. I also had a fresh haircut that I got down there in Mexico City.
Anyway,
we went back and forth although I was off topic and he slightly chastised me for
that. At the beginning, he said, you shouldn't be asking this question because you should be talking about the plane.
Right, because that's all he wants to talk about, because it benefits him politically to talk about how he's getting rid of
the
old.
So you were able to.
So I asked him about basically why they're doing so much to stop migrants from Central America from coming into Mexico and going to the U.S. border, and so little to solve the problems of people in states like Guerrero, where I had just been, who are fleeing, being displaced by basically little armies or criminal groups that are moving into territory and taking over. Mm. I was in a town there where 1,600 people have been out of their villages for more than a year. Because a group came in, the mayor of that area told me, the people who fled, most of them are the people who had houses that couldn't resist bullets, balazos. Mm. But those of us who had houses that are strong enough, many of us stayed because our houses can absorb the
Who are these groups that are coming in? Are they drug related?
Just
gangster type?
Yeah, it's more general than just drug-related in my experience. It's just people seeking power and treasure, Some of them do it through drugs. Some of them do it through extortion. Some of them do it through cutting down pine forests that don't belong to them. I mean, it could be anything.
We need a Clint Eastwood character like in the movie The Unforgiven to go down there and clean up some of these
old
towns.
That's what the residents want. So one of the things that fascinated me about this is that this isn't your typical economic migration where people are so poor that they have to flee and find work. These are people who want to stay where they are, raise crops.
Sure, it's their home.
Right. But they can't because these other criminal groups or little armies are moving in and taking over, threatening them.
Wow.
So, I spent some time down there, went to a village in a poppy growing region. Some of these areas grow opium poppies to make heroin to sell in the U.S. market. I mean, it's not even a secret. That's just what the local business is.
But getting back to the president, his reaction to you during the news conference about why you don't work hard to clean up the places.
Yeah, so this is interesting. He focused strictly on poverty and economic development.
About what he's doing in that area.
Well, he said that's the reason for migration. And I tried to say to him, well, actually, these people are telling me no. They're poor.
They're afraid. They're being driven out by these criminals, gangsters.
And so, we ended up, as always in these situations, in a kind of a stalemate. Mm-hmm. But I think basically for him, public safety is the challenge he doesn't want to embark on because it is so damn hard. Mm-hmm. It's the big challenge. Sure. He'd rather talk about the presidential airplane or the lottery game that they've now developed surrounding. They literally have a lottery game
where they're going to be selling tickets. To see who's going to get the plane?
It's not literally getting the plane, but it's getting the money that they expect to derive from the plane.
And
they put up a mock-up of the little tickets that you're going to buy, the lottery tickets.
Yeah, so you're saying this is just a giant distraction.
Right, people are being forced from their homes, and the crime rate's through the roof, and he doesn't want to deal with it because it's a really, really hard problem. I should also add that not only is it a hard problem, but in previous administrations, they've tried to, fight fire with fire. And the result was just, you know, massive eruptions of violence that left a lot of innocent people dead. So he's trying to solve the crime problem without, like, going at it with guns blazing. And it's complicated to do that. It is really hard to get
And then you really wonder, Tim, what about the cartels? What kind of power do they have in the federal district there in Mexico City with the president?
Yeah.
There's such a big portion. You know, there's so much money in that.
I mean, traditionally they have their, you know, there's an interesting theory I've heard recently, which is about how it's not so much the cartels expressing their power, but more that the government is kind of extorting the cartels. In other words, yeah, you guys can exist, but you're going to have to give us a cut. The government does have the power in the end to do what it needs to do. It's a question of will and strategy as to whether they're going to accomplish what they need to.
All right, I'm running out of time, but logistically, this sounds like it's a nightmare for you, traveling around Mexico.
Oh, it was crazy, man.
Some of these places that you're worried, of course, and you should be, for your own personal safety. I mean, I've heard of Acapulco. I've been there, but the first place you were talking about, I never heard of it. I mean, it's one of Mexico, what Mexico has, 25 states.
36,
or
I believe.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
36. So this one I'd never even heard of, and you said it could be quite dangerous down there, so you got to be very careful.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a weird, it's a weird feeling.
And
to
reporters
be,
have not had a great track record with safety down in Mexico.
Although foreign reporters are much more protected than domestic ones.
Well,
the Mexican
reporters.
I take my hat off to them. They're very courageous, and they
the
work
front
hard.
Lines. Yep. Okay, Tim, do you have anything in the paper you want to talk about real quickly?
I probably will not this weekend.
Okay.
I'm working on this,
working on this,
project,
this big project. Always a pleasure, Tim Steller. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues. We'll jumpstart the weekend with Matt Russell on Weekend Watch right after we take a break.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen.
Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Oh, I love to hear that music. That's Stir It Up, a little bit of Stir It Up from Bob Marley, which signals the weekend has begun on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. 3-hour drive, basically, from Tucson puts you in an area that you're going to just really love, and great place to, as they say, recreate, hang out, just kick back. Really beautiful environment. All these great places to stay. The full listing of where to stay and what to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist, Matt Russell. Matt, are you all excited about the big day, Valentine's?
I am indeed. I got my Cupid outfit ready to go for the night. And happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife, Bill.
Thank you so much. Any, of course, this is traditionally lots of people like to go out for dinner on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you know, Cupid himself is going to be making his rounds tonight. You know, and whether you're dining in with the one you love or enjoying an evening out together, there are plenty of romantic rendezvous to choose from. One of them is the special Valentine's dinner and show at the Cup Cafe downtown at Hotel Congress. Now, they're going to have a prefix 4-course meal with dishes that just ooze romance, Bill, followed by a cabaret performance by Lola Torch and the Torchbearers for an intimate evening of song and storytelling. A seating is limited, so you have to grab your seats now by calling the Cup Cafe. The number 798-1618.
Hearing so many good things from our friends living on the northwest side in Oral Valley at the Marketplace.
Yeah, you got it. You know, and if you're a fan of classic cars and live blues and barbecue, you're going to want to head up to the Oral Valley Marketplace tomorrow for their annual Cruise Barbecue and Blues event. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning with an endless supply of classic cars along with 3 live blues bands, entertainment for the family, the kids, and everybody. And, of course, my favorite part, succulent barbecue smoked by Tucson Pitmasters.
I knew it.
Gets you in the gate. Yeah.
I knew
it. I'm going to be hopping up on stage myself to MC the event if I can successfully wipe all that barbecue sauce off my shirt.
I just knew. When I heard BBQ, I knew there was a rib connection to Matt Russell.
Oh yeah, what a shock, right?
Yeah. Tell me.
It benefits the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, and it promises really to be a delicious one.
It does indeed. Is Arizona Beer Week still going on?
Yeah, well, you might remember, Bill, on last Friday's Weekend Watch, we talked about the start of Arizona Beer Week, and sadly, all good things must come to an end. This weekend is the end. But the week is going to wrap up in style like it does every year at the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. It's tomorrow from 1 to 5 p.m. More than 30 brewers are going to be pouring samples of their suds at 12 venues in and around downtown. And all you need is a wristband, a tasting glass, and a map, and you're going to be ready to create your own crawl. Details and tickets, which are disappearing quickly, I should say, are at TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com.
Inside Tucson business, food and beverage, in the column.
Yeah, you know, the rodeo rides into town next week, and I present a roundup of dishes at local restaurants that are sure to make those cowboys and cowgirls heading into town feel right at home, on our range. It's in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business, and all I can say is giddy up.
Get those boots on. All right, Matt, have a great weekend, Valentine's Day. Have a good one.
Right back at you. Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, making sure we get up the podcast, get all posted in a quick, timely manner each afternoon. Everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, John Couch, everybody at Bustos Media, say have a great weekend. One quick note, don't forget the Bon Voyage travel show at the Hilton Conquistador. I'll be speaking with Ryan Hansen at about 2 p.m. Sunday. Have a great weekend.